Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day passed. Hard to believe. Oh. Hard to believe that it's come and gone already. We're already midway through February, and spring will be here in 3 weeks.
Yay.
I say that for your benefit. I can't wait till spring. I'm a snow buff, but I can't wait till spring. I don't want to fall on the ice anymore. When Pastor Samuel asked me if I would be willing to preach on this Sunday, I at first did not realize that this would be Valentine's weekend. And then, oh, that's Valentine's weekend. Easy, I'll preach on love. But not as the world gives, but as the Bible gives. Amen? And so I chose to handle Sunday school with the five different ways that we are to love as God teaches within his word. And I thought, when it comes to the morning service, dealing with love for the brethren or love one another, I thought, hey, 1 Corinthians 13. I love the chapter. I read it quite often. And then Pastor said, well, you know, you can, wait a minute, what translation do you use? And he said, ESV. He said, but you can preach from the King James if you want to. And I said, no, I want the challenge. So I redid my studies in the ESV so that it could be with you. And I want to leave this message with you today because it is an excellent, excellent chapter within the Bible. It is actually called the love chapter of the Bible, right? Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me now. I don't want to run away from you. Okay? I like interaction. What chapter am I going to preach on? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Good. Now you can take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. Okay? I'm not trying to trick you or anything. I just take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, and I'll share with you why. Okay, go to 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 11. And for all of you Sunday school people, I have to stand corrected. What I wanted to say is in there. So if you cross it out, uncross it and put down 1 John chapter 3, 11 in your notes from Sunday school. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Can you read that verse with me again? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Did I read the right verse? Oh my gosh, it's starting already. Where's Dave? Hi, Dave. I turned 72. And I'm hoping I still have my mind at 72 like I did at 73. Okay, go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Let me read it right. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Look at verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. That's the overlying text for my message today, is that God's love is perfected with us. The word perfect or perfected means that which is not lacking anything. God's love does not lack anything. His love is sacrificial. Agape, can you say agape? Agape love is a sacrificial, sacrificing love. God is a self-sacrificing God. His love is perfect. It lacks nothing. Of all the things that are so imperfect in this world, it's nice to have something perfect. And God is perfect. Amen? God is perfect. Can you say that? God is perfect, lacking nothing. God is love. Love lacking nothing. It is self-sacrificing. It is a giving kind of love. For John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting love. And one of the things that we dealt with in Sunday school, which is very important when we come to this passage, is how do we show, how do we demonstrate, how do we tell one another that we love God? And what was the first word, Sunday school people, that I gave to you? Obedience. Remember obedience? By the way, that's my song for today. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately, and joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Amen? Did you know it? Did you know that song? Yeah? You like that song? It's one of my favorite. It's your favorite? Cool. It should be your favorite too, because it helps you to understand that if the Bible says we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we should be able to sing that song. Obedience. It's one of the most scriptural songs of the children's songs that we sing. And you don't have to be a child to sing it. You can be a child of God and sing it. But it is the very best way to show that you believe is by obeying God. And by obeying God, 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4 says that we are commanded to love one another. Now, listen, I want to make sure that we get this straight. We are dealing in the context of the church. We are dealing with brothers and sisters. Beloved, love one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, love one another. One of the best places to show your love, yes, may be husband and wife and children at home, but
very close and matched to it is the love one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. I was saying to Ben that, how late do I get to go? He says, you can go as long as you want. And I said, well, that'll show how much you love me. So at 2:30 in the afternoon, you're sitting there, okay, I'm supposed to love him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are commanded within the pages of Holy Writ that we are to love one another. We are to be self-sacrificing one to another. If God gave his only son, then we give ourselves to each other. Because that's what God wants. And so, how do we do that? I've always wondered, how, besides showing obedience to God and his word, how do we show one another that love? How do we carry out that command to love one another? And then all of a sudden, along in my Christian life, came 1 Corinthians 13. And I said, there it is. I can learn to love the brethren through 1 Corinthians 13. I can learn to love my wife through 1 Corinthians 13. I can even learn to love my enemy through 1 Corinthians 13. It's a great chapter. So are you there? Are you at 1 Corinthians 13? Are you at? I'm going to read the whole chapter for you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the greatest chapter of love in the Bible. Not the greatest verse. What's the greatest verse of love in the Bible? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave himself. Right? All right. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, agape love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what a clanging cymbal is, don't you? That's all people ever hear. Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not agape love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, agape love, I gain nothing. And here we go, verses 4 through 8. I love these words. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Agape love. I find in verses 4 through 8 absolutely God's way of how we can love one another. All the time, every day, every minute, every hour, every week, every month, every year, as long as we live, I see in these verses the way that God's people can love each other. Now remember, the context is here. in the church, because Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church. Now, you know what the Corinthian church was like, right? I have the spiritual gift of preaching. No, I have the spiritual gift of teaching.
Hey, I can heal. Well, I can give.
And they fought each other over the fact that my gift is better than your gift. I can do something that you can't do. But you can't do as much as I can do. And they went back and forth all the time in the Corinthian church. And Paul said, folks, listen, the greatest of these is love. And he starts with the first one in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. And what is that one? Patience. Do you all have patience? Careful, because if you say you do, God may put a monkey wrench. And you know what happens when there's a monkey wrench, right? Not only have one flat tire, but you now have four flat tires. My kitchen sink didn't go, only my bathtub did. And my toilet. Oh, no. Not only my kitchen. Oh, wow. You know, one thing after another happens. Patience. I want to show you something quick here so that I make sure I get this in. When you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, love is patient, that simply means that I am going to stay under the pressure of whatever it is that I'm facing. And in the context, Paul is dealing with the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what he is saying here is that I'm going to stay under the pressure, I'm going to stay under the testing when it comes to the brethren in Christ. That sister over there, did you know that sister over there, you know what she did? Did you hear what that brother in Christ said? Oh, I can't believe he would ever say that. Oh my gosh, why are they picking on me? Oh, I don't feel wanted anymore. Well, that was mean to say. Paul is saying that Christians are to have patience with one another. Now, like I said, I'm going to show you something. Go all the way down to verse 7. And what's the first thing? Love bears all things. Patience and bears all things are two of the same word. And you know what that means? When you look at patience to begin with, it deals with people. The second one, bears all things, it deals with circumstances. I stay under the pressure of the people that I'm with. I was going to say dealing with. Well, maybe I'm dealing with them. I don't know. But you stay under the pressure of what people bring into your life. Not everybody brings everything positive into your life. Not everybody says everything positive in your life. Do they? People can sometimes say something pretty mean. Or how would they understand? Or how would they know my situation? Or how can they relate to what I'm going through? Why did they say such things? My goodness, that was, how dare they? Staying under the pressure. Whatever comes your way, you're going to be long-suffering. You're going to be patient. You're going to stay under the pressure and let God do what he needs to do in that situation. And you know the first thing that you do in that situation, don't you? You take it to God in prayer, right? Pray about it. Give it to the Lord. Let him begin to handle it. Don't you try, because if you try to handle it, you know what's going to happen? Here comes the monkey wrench. And then bears all things. How many of you, including the young ones, how many of you have circumstances in your life that's like, I remember the day after Martin Luther King Day. Yep, I remember that day. I was a happy-go-lucky kind of a person. I was going to get the salt so that I could salt the sidewalks for the school so that they could have school on time. Yep. I filled the salter. I take a 50-pound bag and put it in the salter. I was having a great day. Fantastic day. I started down the playground track, and all of a sudden, there went the Psalter. Spilled all the salt on the side, on the playground. There went me. Ow! And then I tried to get up. Guess what? I couldn't get up. And then I tried again. I went down again. I'm on ice. Oh, that's what happened. I slipped and fell on the ice and I hurt my ankle. Pulled the tendons in my ankle. Wow. You know what? I wasn't really happy after that, per se. I was like, oh. Did I break my ankle? No, I don't think so, because I broke my left ankle, and my right ankle didn't break because I can walk on it. And all that day, I was in pain walking on my ankle. Hi, Gary, how are you? Oh. And they asked, so why, what happened? I said, well, I'll tell you what. My left ankle, I broke it. My right ankle was aggravated. Now my right ankle said, that's enough. Now you're going to pay attention to me too. And so I sprained my right ankle, bruised it, pulled the tendons. So now I'm equally on both sides. We're done fighting each other. Circumstances. Staying under the stress, the pressure of the circumstances that God brings into your life. Patience bears all things. Pretty much the same thing. But one deals with people and the other deals with things. And I have always said that if you can get past the first two, patience. Oh, wait a minute. What's the second one? And be kind. Oh my gosh. To be kind means that we are taking the interest of the other individual and we are doing the best that we can give to them, that which will benefit them. That's what it means to be kind. Whatever I do, I benefit the person that I'm dealing with. First of all, if something negative comes your way, you're to have patience, and as a response, you're to be kind. Do we always do that? Do we always say, oh yeah, bring it on, man, bring it on. I can take this. God says I'm supposed to be kind. Yeah. Yeah, bring it on. What are we really saying inside? Be patient. Be kind. Be patient. Be kind. You know what? As I think about it, God is very kind to us. Do you not think so? No matter what it is that we might be facing, whoever it is we are facing, God is very kind toward us. In his kindness, he benefited the need that we had. And you know what he did? He gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sin. And in that process, I think it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32, because Jesus was kind, so we are to be what? Kind. Kind toward one another. Kindness goes a long ways. Forgiveness answers a lot of stress-related situations. Kindness. My model, ever since a teenager, was always to be prepared. Do you know why? Because I was a Boy Scout. And Boy Scouts always were prepared. When I became a Christian, my motto became, be kind. Kindness. And did I not, Eugene, spend a whole lot of time in that at Berean? It was like, I'm never going to get done with this. I'm kindness Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Look at the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament. It says, be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind. Kindness, 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 kindness. God is a very kind and loving God. And he's very kind toward us to manifest his grace to us. And he's very kind to us to supply our needs. We are to be kind one to another. Whatever is in the best interest of the person that we are with, you are to be kind one to another. Be kind. The third one, as you look at chapter 13, love does not envy. Agape love does not, what? Envy. Can everybody say envy? None of us are envious toward each other, are we? Just because you have a, what's the name of that car? Some of you have beautiful homes. I have a dinky apartment. I wish I could have your home. But then I thought, no, wait, Lord, I didn't mean that, honest and truly, because the situation may not be the same. Some of you have nice clothing. Some of you have excellent knowledge. Some of you have a sweet spirit. Some of you might be... Envy is simply not desiring to have what somebody else has that God has given to them. You ladies have beautiful hair. Look what I got. A Band-Aid on the top of my head. I have to stop because some of you ladies have beautiful hair. I love beautiful hair. I love redheads. Any redheads in here? I asked my wife, I said, can I dye my hair red? Nope. Well, I guess I can't win that one. That argument's out. Can you dye your hair red? Nope. Envy can be very dangerous. It can lead to many, many distractions. It can lead to many, many, a lot of bad things. It can lend itself to evil. Envious. And when you look at the Old Testament, you see a lot of envying going on. Never desire what somebody else has above what you have been given by God. Because what you have been given by God is what God wanted you to have. Before I married Lou Jean, I wanted 12 children. When I was engaged to Lou Jean, we wanted 6 children. When I married Lou Jean, we had 2 children. There went the 12, there went the 6, there went, oh, there's the 2. I went from 12 to 2 because I was looking at families that had 12 and it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Then I was watching the program called 8 is Enough. Yeah, well, maybe they're right. And I began to realize that, it's not always good to envy. I've seen people that have beautiful, beautiful cars, brand new car. Oh my goodness, they have a brand new car. Whoa! What's that on the side of the road? Oh, that's the same car I wanted. Oops. Not always good to envy. The Bible says love does not envy, or does it boast? That's the next one. Boast. Do you remember somebody ever saying, I'm the greatest? The older ones should remember that one. What was that one? Muhammad Ali. You know, I was always saying the same thing. Then I realized that I went from this to this. And God helped me to go from this to this. Love does not boast. It does not glory within itself. It always glories in what God is doing in the other individual. Not only does it not boast, but it is not arrogant. What is arrogance? Anybody know? What does it mean to be arrogant? I know everything there is about Scripture. Ha, 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 and you know nothing. Would that be arrogance? Yes? No? Yes? It would be, wouldn't it? Arrogance is the kind of thing that says, I'm really proud of myself. Ha, ha, look what I've done. Ha! God says, Love is not arrogance. And a part of that arrogance is pride. Do you know what the Bible says about pride? Let's see. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit is an arrogant spirit. So if you want to have a fall, just become arrogant. And God guarantees you're going to have a fall. He's going to point it out to you. I don't know what way he'll do it, but he will. We're not to have an arrogant spirit. We're not it, you know. There are other people in the body of Christ besides us. And every one of us has a function to perform. And God uses every spiritual gift in the body of Christ. One is not better than the other. The one needs the other one as the other one needs the other one. We all need each other. Amen? Yes? Right? And so therefore, I am to be sure that I realize that I'm not the only one. There are you as well. Don't boast and don't be arrogant. And the next one is definitely don't be rude. Now, how many of you know what to be rude means? My wife says, I will always get in trouble. I will get in trouble. I might get in trouble for saying this to the wrong person. Are you pregnant? Oops. I did that once, and the lady says, no, why? I thought, oh, no, how do I get out of this one? Oh, no, my wife told me I was going to have this in this experience. What does it mean to be rude? Anybody? Husbands, are we rude to our wives sometime? Wives, are we rude to our husbands sometimes? In the body of Christ, are we not rude to sometimes? What does it mean to be rude? I wrote this down just to make sure that I have it for you. Okay? I did write it down. To be rude means to be impolite, offensive, embarrassing. And it can destroy what you've built up for many, many years. Rudeness can destroy a marriage. Rudeness can destroy the relationship you have with your children or children with you. Rudeness can destroy friendships with the click of the tongue. We need to be very careful what we say to each other. We need to mind the tongue because the tongue is a ruling evil. It can destroy anything in its path. Say the wrong word. You can be a friend for 50 years. You know you say the wrong word, that friendship can end just like that. Love is not rude. It doesn't say things that should not be said. It does not insist on its own way. I had a hard time with this one because I always insist on my own way when it comes to my wife. But then I look at what she's saying. I know she's right. Why am I doing this? I'll give you a good example of that. Back in 2018, I think it was, we were looking at buying a vehicle because our vehicle was costing us too much money. So I said, well, I want to stay with the Jetta, the Volkswagen Jetta, because I love Volkswagen engineering. My wife says, you really should be looking at a van. Because how are we going to take our grandchildren and myself? Because the Jetta only takes four, a van will take at least five. So guess what I ended up doing? I bought a Volkswagen Jetta. Good car. It has 168,000 miles on it. But for the most part, my wife can't go when I take the grandchildren. Guess what? I goofed. Now I'm looking at to buying a van. But now we're not transporting our grandchildren as much as we were before. Love does not insist on its own way. We don't always have to sing the songs this way. We don't always have to do it this way. We don't always have to teach this way. We don't always have to. Love does not insist on its own way. It is whatever God provides. And we have how many people here? Can you imagine if you all insisted on your own way, how many divisions there would be? Sometimes it's not good to be self-centered and say, I want it this way or no. It is not irritable. Irritable. What does it mean to be irritable? Anybody ever experienced being irritable? We're not irritable, are we? You know what I used to do as a pastor? I would call people in the morning and sing to them. My wife said, don't you do that to me. What does it mean to be irritable? Anybody? Miserable? How would we be miserable to each other? Would we be miserable to each other? What if you woke your mom up at 4 o'clock in the morning? What would she say? Anybody get up at 3:30 in the morning? Anybody get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Do you sing when you get up in the morning? Yeah? What would you do if you called somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning and sing to them? Do you think that they would be most miserable? Try that with my wife. She doesn't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. The Bible says we, that is agape love, is not irritable to one another. It's nice to have a spirit about yourself that is warm and friendly and open and kind, but not irritable. And I didn't say that. God said that. Love is not irritable. It doesn't really. A person who is calm and not quickly provoked will accept your irritableness, and guess what that person will do? Father, please take care of him. Love is not resentful. I don't resent the fact that you have a new car and I don't. I don't resent the fact that, and we can go down the list of things that can cause us to be resentful. To be resentful is a very dangerous thing. Because, you see, to be resentful means that we are going to be holding grudges. It's releasing our bitterness and our anger. And it keeps a mental tab on what the other person has or is doing or how God is blessing them. And God, why can't I have that? I mean, you given that. How many of you remember Little House on the Prairie? Do you remember Mrs. Olson? She wasn't resentful, was she? Oh, yes, she was, big time. It doesn't help to be resentful because you don't get anywhere in life with that. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. You know, we live in a world today where right is considered wrong and wrong is considered right. That's the society in which we live in now. Actually, we live in a society that lawlessness is on the rise more and more every day. Of course, that is one of the L's of the latter days. Three things that tells us we're in the latter days. Lawlessness, lasciviousness, and laziness. Those are the three L's of the latter days. But under lawlessness, people, I mean, where do judges come off putting a murderer back on the street? That's not right. I don't rejoice in doing that. But you know, there are some people that do. I mean, they did it all the way back in Jesus' day. Who did they take and put on the cross instead of the other person? Was it Barabbas? The people traded Barabbas for Jesus. Did Jesus do anything wrong? No, he did not anything wrong. But who did they let go? Barabbas, who did everything wrong. And people were rejoicing in Barabbas. People are rejoicing in evil people today. People are rejoicing in, oh, wow, let's get him out of jail. Yay! We're not to rejoice in wrongdoing. We are to be rejoicing with the truth. And how do we know what the truth is? You should know this one. How do we know what the truth is? The Bible. What is that?
Jesus,
right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you follow after Jesus, you'll follow after truth. And God will help you understand what is right, what is wrong. What is wrong, what is right. And I know, I realize this. You'll have to pay a price for what is right. Because that's not the way the world is going. I had to deal with this just a couple months ago. Our youngest son lives down in Florida. And just before Christmas, the landlord told my son and his wife, I'm not renewing my rental services. You can't stay here anymore. You have to be out in 30 days. And this is Christmas time. Well, talk about the anger that swelled up in me. And then God helped me to see that, you know, he's the one that's in charge. He knows how to deal with things. And my son and his wife was able to get the people that work with her, and they all helped her to move, helped the family to move. It was just like, wow, God is at work. But I was thinking to myself, I can't rejoice in the fact that what he did was right, because it's not right. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. And if you want to know what the truth is, read, study, know, apply, and engraft God's word into your life. And then you'll know what the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. And he does also say, sanctify thyself with the truth, God's word. And then here we come. Love bears all things. It stays under the pressure of all the circumstances that you face in your life. And some of us have more than others. I do have a lot, yes. But it bears all things. It believes all things. It believes. It trusts that God knows what he's doing. No matter how I feel about the situation, God is at work in that person's life. He will work it out. He always does. Amen? And then we sit back and say, oh, my God, I can't believe I acted like that. Oh, my goodness. When we should have known that God is perfect. Every gift from above is perfect. It lacks nothing. Whatever God has given to you is what he wants you to have. Whatever healthiness that God has given to you is because this is what he wants you to have. It believes all things and it hopes all things. Hope is the anticipation of things yet to come. What are you anticipating as far as this year is concerned? I know you want winter over. I know you want no more snow. But you know something God does say in the Bible, in Job actually, he says, snow be on the ground. uh-oh, now what do we do? If God says snow be on the ground, we can't argue with him. Right? Job 37, just look it up. God says to the snow, be thou on the earth. And he goes one step further and says, have you not considered the treasures of the snow? Okay, bring it on. I remember the last snowfall. When did that come? I remember saying, okay, Lord, just bring it on. I'm right here. And then he dumped, what, a foot, 2 feet? I got to be careful what I'm asking for. But what do you anticipate for this year, for you as a congregation, for you and Pastor Samuel and his family? What do you anticipate? Love, hopes, all things. It anticipates what God is going to do in this congregation. And as far as I know, Samuel, he's going to do great things. Absolutely. I love Brother Samuel. He is a fantastic Christian, and he's a wonderful pastor, and he has helped me through some very, very difficult moments. Great man. And last, endures all things. Whatever God brings into your life, whatever people bring into your life, love endures all things. It can handle it. It can stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. It endures all things. And last, love never ends. Agape never ends. It's constantly 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there. You can't run away from it because it'll follow you as a believer in Christ. It'll be right in front of you. And if you do take the opportunity to read 1 Corinthians 13, it'll be right in front of you. And I would like to challenge you to at least read it once a week. Actually, once a day. But if that's too much, at least once a week. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Or read the whole chapter, but especially verses 4 through 8. Because once again, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast. It is not arrogant, it is not rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, what? Never ends. The free-flowing love of God through you as a vessel never, never ends. So why is it the greatest of the gifts? Because love never ends. God is love. And as God is love, he commands us to love one another. Well, how do we do that? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It's all right there, all spelled out. And you really want to get into it? Open those words, and they just become gems, jewels, blessings. Oh, wow, look at this. I trust that God will bless you with these words from his word. Let's look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for what you are seeking to accomplish within our lives as believers in Christ. If one or more are here today and not a follower of Jesus Christ, not a Christian, one who has never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. May something in this message reach into the depths of their soul and bring them to Christ. And for us as believers, Father, thank you for allowing your word to make us more like Christ every day. That as he is, so we will be. And we'll thank you for this as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do I lead this or do... Oh, there you are. Okay. I didn't look back far enough. Okay.
Thank you, Gary. And we're going to close off our singing this morning with hymn number 108, The Love of God. Let's please stand together as we sing. Hymn number 108, let's sing The Love of God.